Man, that's a good old song right there. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we're going to read verses 35 through verse 42 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Acts chapter 7, verses 35 through 42. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. Acts 7, verses 35 through 42. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, Have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? And let's pray. Father, again, we need you. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us as we preach the word of God this morning. May our hearts and our ears and our spirit and our minds be open. May we listen intently to what you have for us. And Lord, may we be closer to you because of it. And God, would you please bless our church because of it? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. It seems like that in recent years, there's been a surge or a thrust, more of an accent, so to speak, in the interest of people and their family ancestry. Have you noticed it? People are researching, they're traveling all over the country and some even around the world, and they're researching their family tree or their ancestral tree. And it seems like it's been a bit of a, and I don't mean to use, I think this is the right type of word to use, but a bit of a rage, a bit of a fad, so to speak, in people studying their family tree. We have websites dedicated to studying family ancestry. You can go to libraries, and they have places in libraries for you to do family tree research and all that type of thing. My mom and dad have in their home, hanging on the wall there in the living room, and on that is the Bush family tree. That sounds kind of funny. We don't have a family tree. We have a family bush, all right? But my grandfather did a little bit of work on it and updated it many, many years ago with a steel pen, and it's an old piece of work there. And my in-laws this summer were here, and they drove across Canada from Minnesota, not because it was closer. They were lost. No, they drove across Canada, and they were doing some family history research while they were going through Canada, because somewhere in their ancestry, somebody on one side of the family or other was from the Canada area, I guess. They had fun with it. I don't understand it, and it didn't matter to me, but they were enjoying it, amen? And I understand that. Family ancestry websites are the second most visited websites in the world today. It is the biggest hobby in America, second only to gardening. I was astounded when I read that statistic. The average person, now this is average, doesn't mean you, but average. We know it's not Brother Stoltz because he's way below average. But the average person spends between $1,000 and $18,000 a year in the study of family ancestry. That just boggled my mind. I'm sorry, folks. I like history, but I could find a whole lot better use for $18,000 a year than studying history. Amen? God knows that is true. There are even, I'm told, there are even TV reality shows where you have famous people, and they're making entire TV programs out of these famous people going back and studying their family ancestry to who find out who's in their family tree. All right, you can go outside my house. I got two trees. There's nobody hanging in it, so I don't have anybody. All right, now I say that to say, with the invention of the internet and other things and airplanes and the transfer of information that is just unbelievable these days, it's become an awful lot easier to study these things. Now, I will say this also, and don't get mad at me. There was a time when preachers preached like this in America, and it was okay, so it's still okay, just so you know. But the immorality of our day, the divorce of our day, and the shacking up of our day, and people having babies out of wedlock, has made this that much more difficult in study. Can I get somebody to say amen? There you go. This mentality of welfare babies, and let's shack up with whoever we can and have another baby to get more money from the government, has pretty well muddied the waters for some in their ancestry. Now, many family trees now look more like a tangled briar patch than a family tree. Now, let me say it where we're headed this morning. The church is a family. The church is a family. Grace Baptist Church is a family. I was making some visits yesterday, and Mike, I was visiting somebody that you all had invited, and they were here last week, and I stopped, and the young man looked at me, and he said, "Man, I've never been in a church like yours." And I looked at him, I said, "Is that a good statement or not?" He laughed. He said, "No." He said, "I've been going with my in-laws." He said, "That place is dead." He said, "We're going to bring them with us next time we come." And I said, "Well, we try to be a family." He said, "That's exactly the word my wife used after we left your church." And I said, "That's what we're hoping for." I said, "Because we are." I said, "What we have is we have church, and we meet three times a week for a family reunion." I said, "We kind of look at church like a family reunion." Now, I know in this part of the country, summer is family reunion season. I mean, they're everywhere. There's not a week that I haven't gone by and seen family reunion for this family or that family or heard of it. I've even seen it advertised in the newspaper that they're having a family reunion. And it gets crazy. Now, I say that to say this: Grace Baptist Church is a family. Now, let me say right here, families grow. Did you know the church is supposed to grow? It's not supposed to be us four no more. Right. Watching churches that are dying on the vine because, well, it's just us. My family has grown. No, my wife is not expecting. Done reared three kids. Last one leaves in 2 weeks. Glory to God. Say, how's it growing? Well, my oldest got married, so we picked up another daughter on the family tree. Amen. And when they start having little ones that I get to spoil and send back to them and make them mad about, the tree grows. And then when the other two get hitched, that the family tree keeps on growing. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, some of the trunks get a little bigger too, but I say that to say family trees are in a continual process of growing. Now, you have marriages, You have babies, you have adoptions, you have even at times, you have merging of families. Maybe there was a death and then a remarriage or whatever takes place. Now, did you know that Grace Baptist Church as a family is going to grow the same way? It really will. Did you know in families, you have death? And those aren't fun. I understand that. But may I say this, the family doesn't stop. It keeps on going. You have family that moves away. My daughter decided she hates her mom and dad and is leaving and going to Bible college. Because she hates us so much doesn't mean the family stops, all right? I'm teasing. Y'all doing okay? I'm trying to wake you up a little bit. I got a couple of you. Does he really mean that? No, all right? I really don't, but I say that to say this. Just because Josh moved away and is graduating from college this fall, and then Jeff has moved away, put a year in at college, and is there still and working in the church there in Lexington, and Mindy will leave, and she's going to Bible college, the Bush family hasn't stopped. Matter of fact, it's only beginning to increase even more. And I say that to say the church is a family. Now, the church, the word church is a Greek word. It is the word ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. Now, listen to this statement and let me help you. We believe in what is called the New Testament church. But did you know there was church in the Old Testament? We read here in Acts chapter 7 where God tells us, by the way, these are God's words, not man's words. This is God talking, not man talking. And the Jews were called a church in the wilderness. See, what happened was this. They had been in slavery for 490 years, almost 500 years. And they had been in a place called Egypt. And God used Moses, raised up a leader and said, now deliver my people out of Egypt and I'm going to take you to the promised land that I promised Abraham about 1,000 years ago. It's time to get them out of there and get them to the promised land and start getting them going. And God raised up Moses. You know the story. The Pharaoh was trying to kill all of the male babies from the Hebrews, the Jewish slaves. His mother had Moses, kept him 3 months, couldn't keep it quiet any longer, put him in a little basket and floated him down the river, and Pharaoh's daughter heard his cry. And oh, how it tugged at her heart. She brought him into the palace, and Moses' sister followed that little baby to see what might happen, and she ran up to Pharaoh's daughter and said, would you like me to find somebody to take care of that baby for you that could nurse that child for you? And she said, that would be a great idea. And she went back and got her mama, Moses' mama, and said, mama, 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 you ain't going to believe this. And they allowed Moses' mother, they didn't know that at the time, to raise him and nurse him. By the way, just so you know, we still used his Egyptian name and God called him by his Egyptian name. That probably wasn't his Hebrew name. They said she named him, Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses because she drew him out of the water. And when God spoke to him, God called him Moses. That was the only name he really knew. Now watch this. I love it. I love it. I love it. When they were told to leave Egypt, and after the 10 plagues, they finally were allowed to leave Egypt. Watch this. Just because they left Egypt did not make them a church. Leaving something and assembling doesn't make you a church. Leaving something to assemble for a different purpose does. They were not there to recreate Egypt in the wilderness. They were there to follow God and follow the word of God as God commanded them. That was a church. Now, by the way, it talks about a New Testament church is a baptized group of believers. Watch this. They were baptized in the Red Sea. They went down through the Red Sea. Now, they went in on dry ground. But they were actually buried down through there, and then God closed the waters over the Egyptians, and we won't go through the rest of that. Now, listen to me very carefully. In a sense, Moses pastored 40 years a group of 3.5 to 5 million Jews in the wilderness. That is a group of people I would not want to handle in the wilderness. Amen? Now, the Jews were considered family. They had a common bloodline. They had a common cause. They had a common assembly. And they weren't just called out of Egypt, but they assembled together away from Egypt. And that is exactly what a church is. Hey, do you know what a church is? A church is we're called out of the world to meet together on a regular basis, not to be like the world, but so that we can learn what God wants us to be. We are a called out assembly of believers so that we can learn what God wants us to do. And when we have to go back into the world, we go back to maybe earn our living, but we don't go back to live like the world. Now, the church is not to be some museum or for historical items. The church is not some social fellowship. The church was not some alternative to the world with all the same things as the world had for entertainment. The church is not some stained glass cathedral to impress with architecture. Thank the Lord. The church is not some invisible universal gathering of spirits. It is a local assembly. It is a family reunion. Did you know just because I love my brother and sister-in-law and his two daughters and one son and a son-in-law and two grandkids that he has, just because I love them doesn't mean we're a church or a family. I love you. Just because you love somebody doesn't mean you're part of their family. I love Brother Hawkins. I love his wife more. I love Brother Mrs. Hawkins. But you know what? My last name's not Hawkins. I'm not part of their family. But you know what? We're family because we're part of the same church. We're part of the family of God. Isn't that what it's all about? I love Brother Mrs. Brining. They're like grandparents to me. I mean, they're like parents, second parents to me. I love the Brinings. I even love Brother Mark. And Brother Brining, you know how hard that is. But you won't comment. Now, wait a minute. Here's the fun part. Do you realize that Grace Baptist Church has a family tree? I'm about to shout. It was planted on a hill called Calvary. On the main trunk is the name Jesus Christ. Our family tree goes all the way back to Jesus Christ. We are rooted and planted together with Him. And we have a family tree. You see, the bloodline of Grace Baptist Church flows through the veins of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not a Jew. Well, according to the book of Romans, you don't need to turn there, but I'm going to turn there quickly. I'll read you two verses, Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Listen very carefully. The Bible says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is the outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God gives you eternal genetics by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are engrafted into the family of God. And you become part of His family tree. Did you know there's no divorce there? You know that God won't divorce you and you can't divorce Him? Whew. Now, listen to this very carefully here, and I want to help you today. Grace Baptist Church, what is our family tree? Well, number one, We all have the same Father when we get saved. Did you know that you don't get saved by works? Because then you would be your Father. Do you know you don't get saved by the things you do? Because then it would be your salvation, not His salvation. By the way, none of us are good enough to do it on our own anyway. So we have to have a common Father. Brother Stoltz, come on up here for a second. I've known Brother Stoltz 30 years probably. I've met his dad. But did you know, and by the way, Brother Stoltz knows my dad. But do you know what? We're only brothers in Christ because we have the same Father. Though I love Brother Stoltz, my dad loves Brother Stoltz. Brother Stoltz doesn't have the family privilege at the Bush House that I have. I know how to get in the house. I got keys. He doesn't. Say, what is that? Because that's my family, not his. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm going to eat lunch there. He's not. I have family privilege. Thanks, you can have a seat. See, the difference is, that's my Father. Guess what? When you get saved, God becomes your Father. Wow. There's a verse talks about in the Bible says He became a Father to them and they became His people. Wow. By the way, this is why you need to get saved to be a member of the church. Do you know there are people joining what the world calls churches all over the place? They've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they have their name on the roll, but they're not a member of God's church. You see, Jesus paid the price for the church so that it's in His name. Did you know to be, by the way, that's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 through 21. It talks about that Jesus is the head of the church and that He paid for it with His own blood. Guess what? That means we all need the perfect blood of Christ added to our genetics to be part of His family. There are people that will go to a building today. They'll light a candle. They'll do this. They'll perform some ritual. They'll kneel. They'll let somebody sprinkle on them. I'll drink their baptistry. They'll do all kinds of crazy things. There'll be people get up and flop on the floor and jibber jabber and say, "Oh, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it." There'll be people that get up and say, "Well, I gave money. I went to the little booth and talked to the guy in the booth and confessed my sins to him." They'll do all kinds of different things, but can I tell you something? None of that buys them heaven. Heaven was paid for before they ever were here. Jesus Christ paid the price. Jesus Christ's blood paid for your salvation. By the way, that's why it gives you access to the family of God at the church. You see, we all need His blood. Number one, for eternal salvation, but it's also the price for our church to be a family. Did you know that if Brother Gus and I are of the same blood, we're of the same family? Guess what? When you have the same blood of Christ flowing through you, you're part of His family. And that's why at the church you'll hear me say, Brother Gus, or Brother Jimbo, or Brother Mark, or Brother Barnes. You say, why? Because we have the same bloodline through Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? When you have the bloodline of Christ, it keeps you from having your sin judged. Folks, if you get saved, your sin's already cared for, and you'll never be judged for it. I don't know about you, but in this crazy old world we got today, I thank God. I know what kind of sinner I am, and I'm glad my sin's under the blood. Glad it's cared for. My mom loves me when I do good. My mom loves me when I lay twin dinosaur eggs as a sermon. I mean, it doesn't matter. Oh, that was great. Mom, I could totally screw it up and you'd say that. Well, that's what moms are for. Can I tell you something? Say, why is that? because I got same blood. When you have the same blood of Christ, we have that forgiveness, that lack of judgment for our sins. Hey, did you know that Papa is supposed to run the church? Not El Papa, but God the Father. You know, I cannot speak in the place of God. I can tell you what God says. But if it doesn't match up with that book right there, I'm wrong. That book is right. See, no man can head the church. Jesus is the head of the church. It's my job as the pastor, my job as the shepherd, to tell you what the Father says. Don't get mad at me. I'm just relaying the message. Everybody doing all right? See, we're here for His purpose, not my purpose. It's not, well, our preacher has a different focus. No, the focus is right there on His book, His words that He told us what to do. Church is supposed to be out winning people to Christ. Church is supposed to be bringing people into the fold. The church is supposed to use the same methods God told us to use, and I don't care what year it is. Are you doing all right? The church hangs from the same tree as Jesus Christ. Did you know that Muhammad's not on that tree? Did you know that Buddha is not on that tree? Did you know that Joseph Smith and the Mormons are not on that tree? Did you know that no humanist is on that tree? Did you know there is no other name on that tree except Jesus Christ? You say, oh, you're prejudiced. No, I'm a realist. Well, it's the same God, just different names. No, it is not. My Bible says there is no other name given among men whereby man must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. No other name. Man is so in love with his own self and his own mind that man is, by the way, it's not a new thing. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Satan tempted Eve and Adam with humanism. I don't care what you do, Adam and Eve, but you don't need God telling you what to do. You can tell yourself. You can decide good and evil for yourself. You don't need God telling you what is right and wrong. You can decide it for yourself. In other words, there is no right and wrong, and that's where our generation is today. Bible says in the last days that good will be called evil and evil will be called good. God said that truth will be called error and error will be called truth. Hey, that's why you have such a messed up society that we have today. You think they would actually let me go on national television and preach like this? Good night. They wouldn't get me past the prayer before they'd turn the networks off. Say why? Because I pray in the name of Jesus. That one really gets them mad. Can I tell you something? They've called good evil. Did you ever notice that Christianity is now the evil thing in America? Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on. We're moving quickly here. Number two, the church that is called out is not to turn back and be like what they came from. The church who is called out is not supposed to turn around and go back and be like what they were, what they came out of. Look at your Bible there in Acts 7 again. Look at verse number 39. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for this Moses, which brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what became of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol. Hello. Now look at me. These Jews wanted to go back and be what they were in Egypt. They wanted the false gods of Egypt. They actually made a calf out of gold, and they offered sacrifice to a golden calf and called it a god. Have you noticed there's no idols here? Saint Christopher, Saint Michael, Saint Patrick, Saint whoever. Those are the only three I know. I don't know what they're supposed to be for. I hate to tell you. Most of what the Catholics call saints weren't even saved people. But Saint Stoltz. More like Saint Nick. Bald and fat. Now wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Why should we want to worship another god? Saint Mary. Oh, if you could just pray through Mary. Mary was God's mom, and she could get for you what you could not get on your own. Hate to tell you, Mary was a vessel, but she wasn't Jesus' mom. She birthed the body of Jesus, but she is not greater than Jesus. Everybody doing all right? Listen to me very carefully. When the Jews got in trouble, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Moses is up on that mountain. We don't know what happened to him. Supposedly his God knows what he's doing, but we might as well make ourselves our own idol and worship like they did in Egypt. Hey, we don't have the food we had back then. I think it's funny. They talk about watermelons, leeks, and onions. You talk about wandering through the desert, wanting watermelons, leeks, and onions. Whew. Can you imagine? That was not the three things on the top of my list for sure. Wait a minute. They wanted the worldly style of music. They wanted the Egyptian style music. Listen to me very carefully. When Joshua and Moses came down off the mountain, Joshua said, "Moses, we got problems. Sounds like war." And Moses said, "No, listen again. I think that's music that I hear." Have you ever noticed that the modern music of today sounds like war? I'll use a musical term here. Rock music is filled with dissonance, unblended tones, tones that don't work together properly. And you listen to the average rock music, rap music, even country western music, they're talking about fighting, drinking, drunkenness, killing people, whatever it is, and it is the sound of war. Everybody doing all right? Did you ever notice that the music we have here doesn't sound like war? Sounds like praise, doesn't it? Praise to our God. Isn't that what it's for? It's not supposed to be like the world. Can I tell you something? Churches are trying to be like the world that they're supposed to be coming out of. Get sick and tired of churches that are, come be casual with us. And the pastorette stands up and he'll dress with his little sports shirt and two buttons open when there's three hairs on his chest sticking out and say, "Let me devotionalize your heart for a while today." Talks very suave. Gag. Makes God want to barf. Sorry, vomit. I don't want to be like the world. Did you know that Grace Baptist Church is not supposed to look like the world? Did you know we're not supposed to act like the world? Did you know we're not supposed to dress like the world? Did you know we're not supposed to have the same music of the world? We are supposed to come out of the world and be a local assembly as God said. By the way, that's why in the book of Galatians it says, "Why turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Brother Mike, you got saved out of drunkenness. Why in the world would we want to bring alcohol into the Lord's Supper? We're supposed to bring purity, not impurity. Boy, that's a good statement. We are supposed to come out of the world and not even be associated with the world. Churches are not to be, by the way, churches are not to be more like the world than the world was 50 years ago. Do you know the average music, the average dress, and the average church service today in the average church is more worldly than the world was 50, 60 years ago? Look it up. Look it up. You see, we don't need to copy the world to build a church for God. We're supposed to copy God's words. That's the issue. We need to quit looking back at what we came out of and start looking ahead at what God wants us to be. The Jews had a neck problem. They kept doing this. Did you ever turn your head, look the other way, and walk a different direction? Eventually, you run into something or fall down. Now, for some of you, don't try it because you'll fall down without even moving. But we Christians, we get into this realm of, well, I got saved. There's nothing to do anymore. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I can't have any fun. Says who? Says who? I don't call going to a bar, getting drunk, throwing up, and having a headache fun. I don't call living immoral fun. Costs you a whole lot more than you want to pay. Everybody doing all right? Oh, my soul. You see, we're supposed to be looking ahead at what God wants. I'll tell you this, when you open your Bible and show somebody how they can know for sure they're going to heaven, and they bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's not a drunk or a high that could even compare to that. Not even close. Not even close. When you get to help somebody, I can't tell you what that does. By the way, it doesn't even have to be something spiritual. Just serving God. I was helping somebody yesterday we were working through a problem. We were in a public place. While we were there, a lady came in and some things needed to go to her vehicle. And honestly, one of them was a bit heavy. I knew it. I said, ma'am, would you let me take that for you? And I just picked it up and walked out to the vehicle with her and put it in. She said, you didn't have to do that. I said, ma'am, I would want somebody to help my wife. I said, I can just imagine your husband would appreciate it. And if not, I know you would. And it's just a little too heavy for you to have to worry about. And let me just put this in your car for you. And I did. Turn around, walked away. That's all I did. But you know what? I'll take that over getting drunk any day. Any day. We need to quit looking back at what we came out of. And by the way, everybody look at me for just a second here. I love you. I've grown up in church. Did you know there are churches that I have been in around the country that have changed and I don't look back and want to be like what they are? I don't look back. God gave me the floor plan. Why do I need somebody else's? Everybody doing all right? I'm not turned around trying to look at what everybody else is doing. I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing. I'm more concerned about what does God want us doing. That's what it's all about. Then, I'll finish with this point. Don't put your shoes on yet. Let's attach ourselves to the Grace Baptist Church family tree. Let's just decide we're going to engraft ourselves right into the tree. We're going to park ourselves and just stay there. Can I tell you something? The modern society, it's move, 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 move. And we wonder why nobody is stable. Everybody doing okay? I'm going somewhere. That means this. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved so that you can become part of the family. There's nothing stopping you but you. God is willing. God already paid for it. We're willing. I guess the only thing you have to do is decide you want to accept it. So that's the first thing. If you'd like to be part of this local assembly, if you've been saved but you've never been baptized, baptism doesn't take anybody to heaven. Did you know if you were born in a garage, you're not a car? You say, that's stupid. I was born at Altman Hospital, I think. Yes. Sorry. I was looking for the nod coming from the next to last row. I was born at Altman Hospital in Canton, Ohio. Do you know because I was born in a hospital doesn't make me a doctor? It didn't make me a hospital either. Now, I've been in it enough that I could have probably paid for a wing or two of it. But watch this. Just because you get baptized doesn't mean you got saved. Baptism is a picture. It's like my wedding ring. If I take my wedding ring off, I'm still married, aren't I? People know I'm married because I wear it. It is a picture that I've been married to that lady for 26 years and a month and 7 or 8 days. Can I tell you something? That means every woman in the world looks at that hand to find out, does he have a ring on? Say why? Because that means I'm taken. I've identified with her. Isn't that what it's all about? And every time I look at it, I think of her. It's to remind me of my commitment to the lady that I love more than any other woman in the world. Except my mama. Now wait a minute. Baptism is the same thing. It does not save you. Just like that ring does not make you married. That ring will never make you married. And if you take it off, oh, I'm not married anymore. No, it doesn't happen that way. But it lets everybody else know that's what baptism is. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why you can't get baptized by that. You don't get baptized by getting sprinkled. You don't get baptized by getting poured on. It's going to take a heap more than that glassful to baptize me, amen? Because I got a lot more to get under than what that cup is going to cover. And it is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And that's what you trust to take you to heaven. And it lets everybody else know you've identified with it. It does not make you saved. It makes you obedient. It is an act of obedience. Say, well, I just don't understand it all. I've been preaching for 35 years. As of yesterday, I preached my first sermon 35 years ago yesterday. Can I tell you something? I have preached thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of sermons. I can't tell you I understand everything about baptism. I am not God. I will tell you this. I know that God said it's the first thing we're supposed to do after we get saved. It is an act of obedience, and it has a way of sealing our faith in us and giving us a little bit more assurance of our salvation. Everybody doing okay? Past that, we can get into some theological discussions if you want, but it's not going to settle anything. You know, I didn't ask my mom and dad. When dad said, Craig, take the trash out, I didn't say, I don't understand why I have to do this. If I did, it wasn't a long conversation, and I didn't speak the rest of it, that's for sure. It wasn't mine to discuss with the leadership what I was supposed to do and make sure that I understood it all. No, the trash can goes from where the hedge is all the way to the front end of the driveway. And if you don't get it there soon, you're going to get it there with a sore backside. But either way, you're going to do it. You choose. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Baptism's just a matter of obedience. That's all it is. Maybe you've been saved. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you'd like to join our church. we'd be glad to have you. Just showing up, that's great, but we'd love to have you. Bring you on board officially. Be a part of our family tree. Amen? let me say something. Once you become part of the family, we ought to get busy in the family. We ought to. I went to my mom and dad's the other night, stopped by. I walked in the door. My dad's got everything out underneath the kitchen sink. There's stuff everywhere. He's laying on the floor. I thought, uh-oh. There's trouble in River City. I said, Dad, what's the matter? He said, got a little bit of a leak down here. I did what I do best. What you need? I'll get it. Oh, well, what do you need? There's not room for two people underneath that sink, let me tell you. Oh, wait a minute. I did offer to help. I didn't say, oh, looks like you got it under control. See you later, Pop. Can you come do mine next? I didn't say that. I honestly would have helped. He needed a certain wrench, and I said, tell me where it's at. I'll go down. He said, no. He said, I'm not sure. He said, I think I know where I put it last time, but let me go down and get it. He got it fixed. You know, I'd be upset, though, had I not offered to at least try to help. Isn't that what family does? Can I tell you something? That's what church family's for. I'm so proud. Mrs. Moore found out we were going to, her and Mrs. Schenenberger found out we were going to go help Brother Arcola next week. And we no sooner decided we were going to do it, and they wanted to send a smorgasbord of food. Oh, preacher, can the ladies do something? And I mean, there's fellas, if they had their way, we'd have got no work done. We'd have ate all day long. And then we would have rolled over and died on the trip home because there's just no way. Now, there's going to be plenty to chew on all day, but we've made it a little bit more work-friendly, amen? And I thank God that they were concerned and they wanted to do their part. Hey, that's called family. That's what it's all about. When somebody has a need, we're supposed to be there with them and for them. That's why when you get sick or you go to the hospital and you need something, you're supposed to call the preacher so that he can help you. Right, Miss Wally? And Sally? Now, wait a minute. I try to be there. There's times, and there's probably a dozen of you in the last 2 months that have made this statement. Oh, I just didn't want to bother you with that. Bother me. I like being bothered. I live to be bothered, just so you know. Not by Wiley, though. Say why? Because I love to help people. I do. I got a text about a week and a half ago. Brother and Mrs. Hawkins were in a car wreck while they were in Tennessee. Oh, my soul. Totaled his van. They'll tell you my first words. Is everybody okay? Yeah, but we're not sure what we're going to do, preacher. I said, I'm not sure either, but we're going to make something happen. Don't worry. And we're working through it. Amen. And I told Brother Ed on the phone. I said, Brother Ed, I don't understand it. Bless his heart. That van was held together with duct tape and baling twine. I'm not kidding, am I, Mrs. Hawkins? I said, I just believe God has something better out there for you, Brother Ed. He said, but I can't afford better. I said, God has a way, and guess what? We're real close. Looks like God's providing better. Amen. Say, how does that happen? We just work on it together as family. Just work on it together as family. That means when you jump in, there's things to do here. We've got nursery. We've got parking lot duty. We've got men's prayer breakfast. We've got ladies' activities, men's activities, children's activities. There's, God knows, every week of the world, there's more food that comes through here than Cracker Barrel any Sunday morning. And there's plenty of opportunity to serve with food. Amen. There's just any number of things. Now, let me say this, And don't get mad at me. Some of these positions, ladies, you might have to change the way you dress a little bit because we represent God and we got to follow what he says, not what the world says. And I wouldn't be unkind to you. I'm just letting you know that's the way it'll be because that's the way God wants it to be. But there's plenty to do. There's things to clean, vacuum, you name it. There's plenty to get done around here. Can I tell you something? I think that we ought to keep our family as part of this family as long as we can.
Yes, sir.
I really do. Can I tell you something that excites me? I've taught my children, when they leave this church to go to Bible college, you go join that church the first Sunday. You know that my boys both have the same pastor, Brother Fugit in Lexington, Kentucky? Do you know I defer to him as their pastor? In about 3 Sundays, my daughter about this time will be joining that church because she's going there. Say why? She needs a local pastor, a local called out group to be a part of. I just believe in that. And may I say this, we ought to just hunker our families down in and be part of the church. That means this, we show up to all the services we can show up to. Can I tell you something? My son and Mrs. Moore's son, they decided they were going to have a tent revival in Winchester, Kentucky this last week. 3-day tent revival. Winchester, Kentucky is a rough area. It's a drug area, country drug area. They had about 90 people in 3 nights attend. We got into this, and they had one of the big drug runners got saved on Thursday night that week. He said, Dad, it's hard getting people to come out. I said, yes, sir. I said, I saw your flyer, and I waited. I said, you know, maybe if you do it again, on one side of your flyer, you might put a little history of what a tent revival is. I said, 99.9% of the people in the world do not know what a tent revival is. This generation has no concept of it. I said, you're actually reteaching something that's an old idea that's so old that nobody knows what it is. He said, I didn't think about that, Dad. I said, they don't understand. I said, you do. You grow up in fundamentalism. You sat on Joe Boyd's knee, who is the king of tent revivals. I said, you understand it, but most of the people have no concept what a tent revival is. How many of you, till I just said what it was, had never heard the term tent revival? Yeah, I got half a dozen folks in here, and a lot of you didn't even know. Not many of you could give me names of tent revival type preachers. Everybody doing okay? All right. It's a new concept, but it's not. It is for our generation. I said, our generation is so unchurched, so far away from God, we have to re-instruct people. And that's honestly what it is. So let's be at all the church services so that as we go out into the world, we can give people what they need. About 5:15 this morning, I walked into Sheets to get a cup of coffee. And of course, I was dressed just like I am right now. I got out of my truck whistling. Fella was coming to the door. I opened up the door, and he looked at me as he went through. He said, man, you look like you're dressed for church. I said, I am. I pastor down the road, Grace Baptist Church. Thought so. Kept on walking. He knew what I was by the way I was dressed, amen? Some crazy Baptist preacher. You know, I don't know how to say this. I'll say it as gently and as kindly as I can. Do you know, let's not covet somebody else's family. I love Brother and Mrs. Collin. I love their family. Though that the Collin family is one of the neatest families God has ever put on the face of the earth, I promise you. But Brother Gus, Miss Cassie, Hannah, I don't want what you have. I want what I got. Now, I want you to be part of the family with us. But you know, I don't want to go live at Gus's house. I don't. I like my house. I do. I don't want to drive his truck, even though it's nicer than mine. I like my old dumpy truck. Say why? Because it's mine. I don't want the big brand new fancy stuff that somebody else has. I like what I got. Now, our families can work together and we can be part of the same family, but I don't need what they have. I think so many times we look at another church or another church family and say, well, I wish I... why don't we be thankful for what we have? You know, I love my brother, but I don't want what he has. He's part of my family. I love my mom and dad. I don't want what they have. I want them. I don't want their things. Everybody doing okay? Can I tell you something? Let's treat each other like family at Grace Baptist Church. Let's treat each other like family at Grace Baptist Church. Let's help one another. Miss Osi's down. Joyce has had back surgery. She's down. God bless the Lopez's. They've been through two cars in the last 2 weeks. They're going through a tough time. Hawkins has been through a tough time. Mrs. Hawkins always goes through a tough time because she's married to Ed. Let's face it. We all have difficulties. We ought to love each other. Did you know sometimes it's not always easy to love somebody in your family? I know. You think if you lived in my house, it would be very easy to love me. But there's times it's not. Careful, Miss Kay. Did you know that I love my mom and dad, but there's a reason I don't live in their house? Say why? We'd kill each other. Say why? We're too much alike. We want things our way. Stubborn. By the way, that's why you shouldn't be 35 years old living at home. By the time you get that old, you're supposed to have a job and take care of yourself. Not according to the government. According to the government, not until you get about 29, 30 are you supposed to be able to do that. And maybe not even then. Because that's because our government wants you dependent on the government, not dependent on God. Let me say this and I'm done. How about you help our family grow? How about we all decide we're going to help our family grow? That means we go out and... I'm going to say this and don't laugh too hard, but we go out and get some more babies and bring them in. All right? Adoption, not having. Well, some of you can, but I'm adopting. I'm not having anymore. Amen? Brother, Mrs. Hawkins can have all the babies they want. I'm done. I'm adopting. Now, wait a minute. That means we go out and win people to the Lord and bring them to church. We go out and invite visitors and bring them to church. And we help them into the church and grow and join the church and become part of it. And we just keep doing what we're supposed to do. Isn't that what it's all about? Do you know when my son got married, I wasn't depressed. I was excited. I didn't lose a son. I gained another daughter. I really did. I do not call Ruth Ann my daughter-in-law. That's my daughter. I love her like I love my daughter. I really do. I treat her the same. Maybe a little nicer. I love her. You say, why? She's part of our family. Do you know every week I communicate with her? And I said something to her this morning by text. I said, I am so glad God brought you into our family. We could have not have had a daughter any more that we love than you. I mean that, just so you know. And by the way, she loves us. You know, I prayed for that girl before she was ever born. My wife and I prayed every day that our children were alive. There was days I wanted to kill them. No. That our children, that they would marry the right spouse. And when they got married, she was an answer to prayer. I worked in a national conference. And the year that I wrote my children a letter each day of the conference, I said, I'm sorry I'm gone this whole week and I'll not see you awake all week long, but your future spouse is mom or dad or pastor or in that room, and God needs me there to help influence your future spouse. My son's father-in-law and his pastor sat in the auditorium of that meeting that week. I'm glad I decided I'd help my family grow, amen? It doesn't have to grow fast, but we're supposed to be constantly reaching out to help it grow. Because that's what God wants us to do. And my favorite part, Grace Baptist Church, we have a family tree and it's called Calvary. Jesus hung on that tree and paid the price for our family. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, it's not an experience, it's an obedience. It's a receiving. And once you receive it, the Bible talks about receiving the engrafted word, engrafting. That's what you do to plants. That's when you take a branch from one tree and you cut it in a certain spot and place it into another tree, and they bind it together to where those two trees become one. And that is exactly what God does with us. He takes us out of the world and engrafts us into the tree of Calvary called the church. And he becomes our father and we become a family. I love our family reunions. I couldn't sleep past 4 o'clock this morning. I was up 3 times before then, awake saying, come on, God, let that clock hurry up. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. I couldn't wait. Say why? The family was coming. The family was coming. And I knew God was going to bring more people for the family. Isn't that what it's all about? Let's enjoy Grace Baptist Church as our family. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who's here today? You'd be honest with God. You'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I don't have any doubt at all that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, and by the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. But who would say, preacher, today, if I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday. I'd like to be a part of the family of God. I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? All right. All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere tucked away in that sermon, God had something just for me. There was something in that sermon that I personally needed today, and God spoke to my heart. Would you raise your hands? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it does, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand and said, God spoke to my heart about something, I'd love for you to leave your seat, come to this altar and pray. If you've never been saved and you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do that today. If you've been saved but never baptized, we have everything you need. The water's warm. We have clothes for you to put on that your own clothes would not get wet. Everything you need is right here. And we could take care of that today. Maybe you've been saved and baptized and would like to join this church. Now's your time. Why don't you come? We'd love to have you.